The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we are back here to Analyze This, and we got a great discussion going because I could tell from the text messages. The people asking questions and they're our thing is, you know, we just don't want to be speculating here. There's other issues that we're dealing with, and there's some connectivity with the Virgin Islands and the mainland right now because, of course, the president-elect, who is going to officially be president, God willing, 9 days from today at noon, Joe Biden has a connection with the Virgin Islands, and we got to keep an eye on that situation as well.
You know, we talk about that from election day.
Election night, that's right. That's right.
That's right, yeah.
So that's what we're dealing with. Here's a question that's been asked. Good morning. Where is Senator Kenny Gittens in all of your discussion? He was a pivotal player in the salary dispute. So it's obvious, senators, that this salary issue looks like that's what causing the fomentation to be taking place right now, Ronnie. This salary issue from back in September, it looked like you touched the issue that really stirring this pot, literally. Here we are in organizational mode for the 34th legislature at a time when we need the highest focus ever because the retirees were concerned that their annuities we're going to be adversely impacted. We got news a couple weeks ago from the administrator that wasn't the case and everything is status quo now. But we need the legislature, our leaders, because that's what they are. Whether we voted for them or not, they are our leaders.
We need them to be focused
on dealing with the issues and not being obsessed with the personalities and coming up with these generic statements about distractions. I mean, look. The political arena is a big distraction to begin with. So what are you saying, Ronnie Russell?
Well, I am of the opinion that we commenting at with half the story because he's the only senator that issue a press release. But that issue as to the salary and the issues as to who will be, you know, dealing with the power, the committees, who will have more money, who will have, you know, it's underlying this. And I'm hopeful that at the swearing-in, there could be a cordiality and we don't have to go through a switch of leadership 2 or 3 months down the road.
Or even this morning?
This morning, you know. So I'm hopeful that, you know, so, but, you know, that's wishful thinking, Neville. I don't believe that a senator who was elected and who seemed to have a degree of understanding of the process would issue a statement like that if there isn't something brewing in the pot that we don't know. Okay, but let's assume and let's put it where it belongs. They're being sworn in today, taking an oath of office, and they have to work together for the people. They ain't going swing in to defend their personal agenda or their personal preferences, who they like and who they don't like. This is about the people of the Virgin Islands, and they have to refocus, however they're going to do it, to represent the people. And that, you know, and that's my view.
Rocky, let me ask this question in dovetailing on what Ronnie said. Rocky, suppose the 9 remaining Democrats decide, you know something? We're going to send a message to Senator James, and we're going to pull our head down, and we're going to work cohesively. We're going to be productive, and we're going to show Senator James that the political maneuvering that he kicked in a couple days before we took office was a mistake on his part, to the point where other members of the non-majority, the six non-Democrats, feel the need to come and join the existing majority. Isn't he running the risk of actually destroying his own political career?
Listen, when you go out on a limb like that, mm-hmm. it has to be some circumstance that we don't know. that's so huge that creating that feeling within you that you can't function if you're part of that group. Something there has to be really, really tough for you to deal with. Now, we don't know what that is, and like I say, we're speculating. I don't want to speculate, but I'm saying that he has to come to grips with that. Now, when you make a move like this, you have to anticipate that, one, you're not going to get the full resources of a committee that you had before, and so the flexibility that you had before, you don't have that anymore. You cannot now count on 8 members to support a measure of yours. You got to do a little bit harder work and lobby. Of course, you know, the issues what drive the vote. But I'm saying that now when you're out there, because I know I've been in that situation. I remember I had moved a measure to create what you call a Valentine scholarship for every student in high school when I got in there. And I was in a group, and it got knocked down. It got knocked down right away. I said, look, I said, folks, listen to me, do me a favor. I don't want you to table this forever. Just hold it back. I'm going to come back. And 2 years later, I came back and it worked. So he has to realize now that all of the issues that he's been dealing with, he's been a lot of horse racing, that's a hot issue. It still hasn't finished. So what role are you going to play now in that? Because you're not going to have the leverage of the body and the members to kind of carry that force with you. And now we need that.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up and not me. But if you can remember, going into the primary, that situation with horse racing was so embarrassing that Senator Gittins had an event down to...
Yeah, the horses went to buy food.
The horse went to buy food right there by Plaza West, yeah. Right? And now with the announcement last month of the promoter who has a franchise agreement with the government, telling the government, look, we're done with fighting. We know we have a territorial agreement, but we're in the business. We're okay. We're dealing with St. Croix. We're tired of being obstructed over there in St. Thomas. And you just asked the question. The governor stated, no, I want territorial horse racing, which the governor should do. Because let's face it, he has a political base in St. Croix and St. Thomas, and it would be to his detriment or to anyone's detriment to have an activity that's supposed to be in both districts only occurring in one. And that issue is in front of the legislature. As a matter of fact, it's in front of the court. I think they have a calendar, and that right. Case is supposed to come full circle in March.
In March, right?
So the question now is. Maybe is this the reason why he may be ducking and don't want to deal with this issue? Is it too flammable?
No, but never. When you've been a chair of a committee like that, you want to see something as important as that come to fruition. You just don't want to leave and let it hang in. So they say, well, you're there, you ain't do nothing, you ain't try to fix it, you let the thing go. No, you want to be able to see something through. And in order to do that, you need a full force of the body, because you know what the body is going to need? They're going to need to have a real discussion with the governor to address this issue. This issue is not about them alone.
And it's not all about horse racing.
It's not all about horse racing.
There's a gaming dynamic involved in here as well.
Exactly. And you know the story.
And that impacts the government's coffers. So there's a lot of things that's going on right now.
Yeah.
At the same time.
I think that situation. We don't know what it is, so let's leave that alone. One of the issues, and you said you brought it up about how we're going to move forward. I look at the horse racing, and you know I was involved in that. You and I, all of us were involved in that. But I look at what's happening now. There's a court case in this district, in the St. Thomas and Young district. There's no court case against St. Croix district.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real and let's be honest. Let's be fair.
Exactly.
The truth is, If the governor and wanted to do something, he would say, look, man, I cannot settle a court case. All right? So let the court case go its route. So you begin over here and fix this in Croy. Because at some point, they're going to have to come back to this. What they try to do is to get some kind of agreement with the company over here. They obviously don't want to do it. So let it take its course. And after the court has settled, nobody can get upset with him. Because he said, look, go ahead and build St. Croix. He cannot build St. Thomas because of the court case. And who filed it? Stockland Game is filed.
That's
so
right.
You go to them and decide that.
No,
that's what you have to do.
That's a great point, and we'll see how that one plays out. Now, Ronnie, let's talk national connectivity here with the Virgin Islands. The Senate President, the current Senate President in appearance here on Friday said that one of the things the legislature is looking forward to doing is as soon as the opportunity presents itself and it's allowed for, they are looking forward to going to D.C. as a majority caucus, the chairman and chairwoman of the respective committees, and making the rounds on the mainland to let them know how serious the situation is here in the Virgin Islands in terms of our needs and providing financial relief and legislative support for existing law. The senator by deciding he doesn't want to be a part of the majority, is he pretty much abdicating this being a part of this move?
Well, it would appear so, but but put it in its perspective, the national politics, they have to decide how they're going to purge Republicans who are against the democracy, who are sitting in the Senate, the House of Representatives, and who caused that insurrection.
Well, Ronnie,
and I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful.
Let me ask this question since you went there. Based on what we've heard over the weekend, it looks like this was a hit, Ronnie. It looks like they were targeting the Vice President and the Speaker of the House.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only that, it's so very serious that you have to consider, when I use the word purge, Forbes magazine published something that was I cannot conceive of how they came up with that, but it's a beautiful article that no business would want to hire any of the high executives in the Trump administration because you can't trust them. They're not trustworthy.
Ronnie, Marriott International announced yesterday that they will no longer be supporting any Republican who voted against the decertification, voted for the decertifying of the results last week. This thing is far-reaching. In other words, these money companies are pretty much telling their elected officials, look, we don't have a problem with you taking sides, but there's a limit as to how far you can go. And when you're looking to do something to destabilize the smooth transition of government, then we don't want anything to do with you.
Right. But hold on there,
Rocky. Go ahead, Ronnie, what's saying?
Yeah.
Once you try to destroy the democracy, which Trump has tried, anarchy, he's spreading that, you're touching the money that them man make off of the democracy. And when you touch some of these companies' money, they're done with you, period. And that is where it comes down to. Businesses won't want to do anything with any of those Republicans who support that insurrection. And that insurrection, it didn't start the day of the siege. It started long before. And they know who was part of that.
We're going to take a break. I'll come back to Rocky when we're done. Listen to this. The PGA of America Board of Directors voted tonight to exercise the right to terminate the agreement to play the 2022 PGA Championship at Trump Bedminster. This thing ain't just... This isn't just politics. This is financial as well. We'll be back right after this when we come to Rocky.
Do you want to work part-time doing your part in keeping the Virgin Islands safe? Join the Virgin Islands Police Department and become a police auxiliary officer. The starting salary for a VIPD police auxiliary officer is $30,715 per year for a 30-hour work week. For more information and to apply, visit jointhevipd.com. This message is brought to you by the Virgin Islands Police Department.
A On Fresh Air, you'll hear from people who really make you think, like astrophysicist Brian Greene explaining the scientific theory that our universe is just one of many.
And the image that I like to have in mind is, imagine that our universe is like one slice of bread in a much grander cosmic loaf, with the other slices of bread being other universes.
No subject is too big for Fresh Air. Join us.
Fresh Air weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. One of my favorite interviews I've ever done was one with a 90-year-old Indian architect, because he taught me something I didn't know, that the key to great architecture is philosophy. It's designing a space where people can feel good and live a better life. That interview reminds me that I want to learn something new in every interview I do, so that you can too. Join me on Here and Now.
Here and Now, weekdays at 2 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
And we are back here on Analyze This, and we got Ronnie Russell. Here on St. Croix, we got Rocky Labord. Over there in St. Thomas, St. John. And Rocky, like I was saying, the Professional Golfers of America, Professional Golfers Association, they've decided they don't want to be associated with Donald Trump after what they believe was his role in creating that tragic situation. On Three Kings Day.
Right.
Up there at the Capitol building in the United States, and one of the Grand Slam events for 2022. Now, keep in mind, this event is supposed to take place in the summer of 2022, right? Summer of 2022. Yeah. This is January 2021, four days after the event, and they said, look, we're cutting ties, and they're actually implementing a ban, a lifetime ban from Trump properties. This is how serious they look. They looked at what transpired last Wednesday, which, Rocky, was a tremendous affront on democracy when you look at what was taking place
there. You remember, Neville, I told you a long time ago about Trump. He's an assault on the Constitution and basically democracy. But let me say this to you, and Russell, you could fill in some information here. I listened to all the discussions surrounding this insurrection here, but it started a long time ago. It started from the time the Republicans perpetuated this fraud that the election was rigged. It started that, and they started building an argument, an idea, and it started building up these people. Now, let's look at what happened there at the at Congress. Had this been Black Lives Matter, you know how many people have been dead?
That's right.
Yeah, because they wasn't going to allow them to scale those walls. They wasn't able to get in there. That's number one. Number two, I listen to justice. To me, America has double standards in how we operate with people and how you address people. Everybody knows that Trump is the one who orchestrated. He would tell you, we got to go down there and we got to be strong. We got to show them you don't get nothing done like that. But listen to Trump now. Trump tell him, well, you guys who committed that that action there, you will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Now, he's the one encouraging them to go there. All of a sudden, now he's telling them, no, you got to lock up and do that. You know what's going to happen here? Guys, we're going to have a major fallout.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the whole party, it's going to be, you talk about Democratic Party, the Republican Party going to be in chaos. You notice Mitch ain't saying much now.
He can't.
He's very quiet with that.
But he can't say anything because his life was threatened by what took place last Wednesday.
Exactly. Listen, what's going to happen in the fall election? What's going to happen up the road from now? The amount of people who either going to not run or just going to lose their seat. Because not only that was an issue, this whole thing about stimulus, that's all part of it, too,
You better believe
because
it.
Because Mitch was the one who blocked most of it, what helping all these poor folks out there. And they think it's only black people. They're not black people alone. There's a whole host of folks that black and white and brown, if you want to call it, that are suffering out there, and he denied them that opportunity to get a couple more dollars. Listen, America is facing a serious time. And I don't understand why justice don't name Trump as a person of interest.
Well,
only Trump. He should name Harley. They should name Cruz. A whole bunch of them they should name.
And Giuliani.
And even if it doesn't stand, even if it doesn't stop in court, let them know that we know that you were involved in this there, and this time you don't perform that kind of stuff.
And Giuliani. And Giuliani as well. Now, Ronnie. In an ABC News Ipsos poll released on Sunday, the majority, 56%, say Trump should be removed from office, while just 43% believe he should not be removed. Now, Ronnie, we know that there's only 9 days left in the Trump administration, but 9 days is a lot of time. That's 216 hours, to be exact. And a lot of damage can be done. A lot of good things can be done as well. But there is a concern, number one, that he wants to see this place, the country, burn flat before he leaves because he wasn't successful in the 2020 general election. That's number one. And number two, these people who are being charged, because they have charged a lot of people. One guy was a West Virginia elected official. He resigned his seat, and he just got elected for the first time in November. They figured him out, and he resigned his seat over the weekend because he was a part of this. Our next guy said, we went there because Donald Trump asked us to be patriots and to come there. So pretty much he was ratting out Donald Trump and blaming Trump for him being there. What can be done over the next 9 days to keep the country, like we just said, running good? Or at least in this case, calm, because a lot of people are concerned that the actual inauguration on the 20th, we could have more fireworks that we don't need.
Right. I think the Pence could remove him if he get the administration officials, some of them who resign.
You're talking about invoking the 25th Amendment?
Yes. Okay.
But that's if he wants to do it. That's if he wants to do it.
No, I don't think he can do it because but see what has to happen, and Rocky, you have to understand that there's a majority of people who took an oath to be a lawyer that would never go along with what happened. Once a new administration come in, and they got a new attorney general, I think he will lay all of them down. And they just waiting.
Okay,
because you see, Cruz is part of it. Cruz delayed the vote so that these people could put a siege on the Capitol. All of them, 126 House of Representatives.
But that's what I'm alluding to.
So wait and see. They only waiting, you know. What happened was Trump tried a coup, and why the military generals, 10 of them, defense secretary signed that thing was to warn them, you can't, as commander-in-chief, get the army to go along with what you're trying to do. And they didn't have the army, but they had the people, and they had the National Guard, and they had police, and all of them in consort with them. Wait until after 28th and at the 28th, and when a new attorney general come in, and they got to purge some of them U.S. attorneys that it was complicit with Trump. Purging is a key word, because the mindset of people ain't going to change overnight. And you have to identify those people had a mindset to destroy the country and put in Trump as a totalitarian leader. And you got to search and find them. But once that purge starts, and once an attorney who took an oath to defend the Constitution get in that helm, they're going to suffer. And they're going to suffer hard.
Hold on there. Let me invoke, since we could use that word, right? Let me include in this discussion something that happened that may have amplified, I think that's the right word, what took place on Wednesday. There was an election the day before, and there's a likelihood that Donald Trump pushed the panic button Wednesday morning, January 6th, because he didn't get the desired result on Tuesday, January 5th. In other words, Trump has been wrongfully, in my opinion, and Rocky, you spoke about this a little while ago, saying that the election was rigged. The November general election was rigged.
Yeah.
He would have had a stronger position had the Republicans won in Georgia on January 5th. The election in Georgia on Tuesday validated the results because they were consistent with what took place in the general election in November of 2020. So now he didn't have grounds to stand on to say, see what I told you? And as a result, he went for broke Wednesday morning. And the way that he was watching the proceedings, coupled with the fact that he would not bring in the National Guard, and we could not thank the governors of Virginia and Maryland enough for sending in their guardsmen to provide some support to what was in Washington, D.C. at that time, because that situation could have been even more flammable, Rocky Laybutt.
Okay. I got you. But listen, let me also go on to say that you got to remember that the president had given this authority from the Black Lives Matter. Look at all these people lying out there. So it's obvious that somebody was working along with that. Somebody refused to act when they should have acted. And as Ronnie, as you say, I believe that, and you're telling me that it's going to come down. Some of those folks have to answer, you know. And guys, let's go back to something quick. Let's go back to the legislature home. I am predicting that we might even have a 11-4 majority coming up very soon. We never know yet, you know. Yeah. Like you said earlier, there's going to be some changes, and we're going to see what happens in the next half an hour from now. So keep that in mind. You know, it's a big picture.
It won't happen. It won't happen at the 10 o'clock. The 10 o'clock event,
after that.
It'll happen after that because the first thing that takes place in the Emancipation Garden is taking the oath and promising to pass laws and represent the people
to
help you, God. You know how that goes, right? Ronnie was saying something?
Yeah, the real issue that Biden faces is he don't know how the officials in all of those red states would defend the Constitution, or whether they were hell-bent and supporting Trump in his destruction of the democracy. And he got to bring a country together that had a lot of red states and a lot of people, 75 or 74 million, supporting Trump through everything that Trump did wrong. So he has to... I use the word purge because, you know, they have to do a reconciliation of America. Truth and reconciliation. Because right now, a lot of those senators who were elected and were following Mitch McConnell to really support Trump wholeheartedly, you got to wonder where the allegiance lie. Now, that's Biden facing that. And I think Biden has Claiborne, Obama, Michelle Obama, he got his wife Jill Biden, and a bunch of intelligent and well-respected people and well-versed in law and in government. So I believe he up to the task. The immediate future that we face in here is whether we buy into the confusion and the grab for power and forgetting about our people, and that is what we're discussing.
Let me ask a yes/no question to both of you. Does the Democratic majority in the House of Representatives, is the Democratic House of Representatives Majority Caucus, or I should say are they forced to impeach the President of the United States, even if it is symbolic, just to send a message as to what took place last Wednesday pursuant to his incitement, a must. Should they do it, yes or no? Rocky?
Yes. I think they need to send a message out there clearly, because it puts the onus on the Republican Party to say, well, okay, we have done it. Where do you stand on this? And that's what I think they should do.
Ronnie?
Really?
I share the sentiment of Rocky. And I believe that when they do it, they have to also look at their own institution, because they got senators there that supported in concept to deny the votes of 5 or 6 states, and they should sanction them. At very least, sanction them or decide to put some kind of restrictions on them, because they were part of the insurrection and the outset, where they didn't actually participate in the election, but they were participating in an insurrection against the fundamental right for people to vote. And you got to sanction them.
Keep in mind,
look at the House of Reps.
Keep in mind, everything in America is associated with money, you know. Simon and Schuster, they had a publishing agreement, a deal with Josh Hawley, and they terminated that immediately last week.
Yeah.
And he's a senator from Missouri, who was high-fiving the protesters who turned out to be rioters. And then ultimately, they were domestic terrorists. That's what took place on Wednesday. And we got to finish that. Gentlemen, I want to thank both of you for calling in this morning and giving perspective. The listening audience was very appreciative. Both of you, like I said, having served 16 and 8 years respectively, understand what we're dealing with. And I think you will join me in wanting to wish all of the senators well, because that first branch of government is very, very important going forward. Rani, you quickly, and then Rani, 30 seconds each. Rani and then Rocky. Rani. Is not Iraqi there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah, go ahead. You wanted to give well wishes to the legislature?
Yes, definitely. Let me say this, that regardless of what, these are the folks that we elected. You know, it's a game of poker. You got to play the hand that's dealt. And so we want to make sure that we could assist them in trying to do the best job possible for all of the people of the territory. And I think that if we all work together and we assist them, it's going to work out. I'm an optimist. I believe that as long as we can communicate, things can happen. That's all I believe.
I agree with you. Not only that, Rocky, I just believe we are civil. We're a civil society here in the Virgin Islands.
Yes.
We're not, you know, the barbaric, irrational people. I mean, every jurisdiction, we have some people who just don't want to follow laws and are lawless. But I believe at the end of the day, the 15 senators who were elected to represent the people of the Virgin Islands, they're going to step up and do the best that they could do, because they want to see us doing well and live good here in the Virgin Islands as well. Rocky, thank you for your contribution today.
Good, man. And I just want to say one last thing, Neville. I just want to say I want the group to show us some Virgin Islands pride. Show that they love this place, man.
I like that one to take us out to break. Thank you very much, Rocky. We appreciate that. Thank you, Ronnie Russell, as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ronnie.
U.S. Virgin Islands Police Department's police officers and civilian support staff provide services to the general public 24/7. This department has the responsibility to provide professional service to you at all times. The VIPD is working harder to meet that goal. Please get into the habit of using the compliment forms to commend officers who provide a quality standard of service. It's a morale booster for the recipient. If an officer or civilian needs to improve their customer service, feel free to submit a complaint form. Compliment and complaint forms are available in the lobby of all police stations, at public libraries, some government businesses, and from any patrol officer. Desk officers can also assist you to complete this form. Secure drop boxes are at all police station lobbies. Just insert your form and internal affairs agents will process your complaint impartially and fairly. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Virgin Islands Police Department.
It's a new year, New Year's resolutions, new financial plan. At Bank of St. Croix, we offer a suite of consumer and business services, including home and auto loans. With online banking, you can bank with us from anywhere 24/7. Bank of St. Croix has two locations, one in Gallows Bay, 340-773-8500, and one in Peters Rest, 340-713-8500. Bank of St. Croix, bankofstcroix.com.
And we are back here on Analyze This, and I definitely want to thank Ronnie Russell and Rocky Labod for their awesome contribution this morning, give perspective, local and national politics. Definitely want to give a shout out to my man Carlos Anselmi for taking us right off the top with the weather to let us know what to expect. So we're going good so far. I think we're going to hear from Mr. John Griot in the last about five to 10 minutes. I give us an update of what's taking place at WAPA, but I want to do my thing because, you know, as a former senator and a history major, not a historian, a history major, you know, I like my history. And I want to give you a little preview as to the 15 members who will be swearing in today at the 34th legislature. The Emancipation Gardens is where it starts. They'll take the oath. It'll be given to them. Hopefully, I think it'll be given to them by Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Reese Hatch. Then they will go over to the legislature and officially organize the ruling faction, F-A-C-T-I-O-N, the ruling faction of the first branch of government here in the Virgin Islands. We are American, which means we have a Republican form of government, okay? Not Westminster, Republican. We have separate and co-equal branches of government, and the legislative branch gets the profile today. But the judicial branch plays a part in it as well. Because they, you know, issued an oath, and the governor should be at that event over there on St. Thomas. And I definitely want to wish all the senators as well. So here we go, right? From the St. Thomas, St. John District, Donna Frick Gregory. She'll be serving her second term. Janelle Saro, she'll be serving her third term. And she actually came in midway during the first year of the 32nd legislature. So she has 3.5 years of legislative experience. Milton Potter, he is a freshman. Carla Joseph, she is also a freshman. Marvin Bladen, the most senior senator over there in St. Thomas. He'll be serving his fourth term. He has 6 years under his belt. Alma Frances Heiliger, she is a senator-elect. Alma Frances Heiliger. She is a central staff employee. For the second term in a row, a central staff employee will now transition to being a member of the body. In the 33rd legislature, that was Otneil Bobby Thomas. And Senator Dwayne DeGraff will be serving, beginning his third term. He has 4 years under his belt. So on St. Thomas, they have 15 and a half years of legislative experience coming in from the St. Thomas District, okay? Shift over to St. Croix now. Senator Kurt Viale, he'll be serving his fourth term. Senator-elect Genevieve Whitaker, this will be her first term. Senator Novell Francis, he's currently the Senate President. He's going to be going through that historic moment of handing the baton, the gavel, on to Senator Donna Frick Gregory as she will assume the chair and become the president based on what we know at this point. In another couple of hours after they move from Emancipation Gardens and bring the festivities back to the Earl B. Attlee Chambers over there in St. Thomas. Javon James will be serving his second term. Franklin Johnson, we call him Franklin Frankie G. Johnson. He will be a freshman along with Senator Samuel Carrion. He will also be a freshman. So we have three freshmen in St. Thomas and three on St. Croix. And Senator Kenny Gittens will be serving his fourth term, so he already has 6 years under his belt. So on St. Thomas, we said we have 15 and a half years of experience. On St. Croix, we have 20. 6 years for Senator VLA, 6 years for Senator Francis, 6 years for Senator Kenny Gittens, and 2 years for Senator Javon James. That brings the number to 20. And the at-large senator, he ran out of polls, Stephen Payne. He has 2 years of service as well. So if you add on the 2 years from St. John, the St. John senator, to the 15 and a half years over there on the St. Thomas side, you have 17 and a half years of legislative experience as senators. And this is from the St. Thomas, St. John district. Even though the St. John senator is a large senator, he lives on St. John. And St. John is a member, is a part of the St. Thomas, St. John district. So it's a conditional at large seat. And we have 20 years on St. Croix. So we have a total of 37 and a half years of legislative experience when the senators take that oath today. Okay? And it's going to be a historic day here on St. Croix. Now, of course, it's just between me, Rocky, and Ronnie alone, you had 36. 16, 12, and 8, respectively. So three of us alone had as a matter of fact, Ronnie, Rocky, and myself, with our 36 years, have more experience than the district, the 14 district senators combined. They got 35 and a half, and the three of us got 36. Ain't that something? Wow, experience matters for real. But you know what? We can talk about Rocky, Rania, Neville. Okay, today it's about the members who got elected in November, and we need them to provide that leadership, because at the end of the day, that's what we want from our senators: leadership. The Senate President, along with other members, they're going to grow into the position. The goal is to get better at what you're doing. Be better tomorrow than I was today. And it's going to take some time, because orientation, sometimes for a lot of senators, it's going to be on the fly. And, you know, we got a GRS issue. We got a disaster recovery we're dealing with infrastructure. We got health care, because COVID-19 is going to be here, I would think for the majority of this year. Even though we're going through the vaccination process right now, we're still dealing with it. We got to work on that and rein in the numbers, become the number one destination in the region in terms of with a combination of keeping positives at a minimum while still allowing for people to come into the territory. Some islands, they're completely shut out. They don't want anybody in. And, you know, they're absolutely correct in doing that. They got to protect the residents. And we respect that. But at the same time, you know, we gotta do what we got to do. So that's what we're dealing with here on January 11th, 2021. And we are anxious to see how this one plays out. We have a senator who has decided he does not want to be a part of the majority caucus. He's changed his political affiliation. He is no longer a registered Democrat. And he has 2 years for those who may have been impacted or didn't like what they heard. You know, if he's productive, you know, we need him to be productive individually and collectively, by the way. And if he's productive, then he's going to be okay. Because, you know, some people, you know, the percentage of people who vote for you based on your political affiliation is minuscule compared to whether they vote for you based on your ability to be an effective representative of the people. You know, we got Senator Lisa Chucky Hansen and Senator Celestina White as proof, even though Lorraine Berry was good for 12. And I think Earl B. Attlee did 12 too. I'm not sure, either 11 or 12. In recent times, Senator White and Senator Hansen, Alisa Chucky Hansen, they both did 11, and they were never affiliated with any party. They won as independents. That's 44 years of representation, and they were all always elected as independents. So, you know, you don't have to be associated or affiliated with a party. You know, even though the Democratic Party has a numerical advantage and definitely has brand power here in the Virgin Islands, and you can see it with the gubernatorial races from 1986 to now, which is 35 years. Come November, the majority of those years have been Democratic years, 28 of them. Prior to that, you know, it was non-Democrats and ICM and Republicans and independents. But since Farrelly won in November of 1986, you had 8 years of Farrelly, then you had 4 years of Schneider, and then after that, you had 8 years of Turnbull, 16, 8 years of De Jong, 24, then you had another 4 years of MAP, but then you have, now you're looking at another 2 years of Brian. So that's 24, 26 years. Wow, 26 and 8, 34. I believe we got John Greer on the line. Good morning, John Greer. How are you?
Good morning, Neville. Good morning to your listeners. How are you today?
I'm good. How's everything? How's St. Thomas?
It's been challenging for the Water and Power Authority in St. Thomas, St. John over the last 40 or so hours, but in this fourth and most recent district-wide service interruption that we have experienced this morning since about 7 o'clock, we are just about ready to complete the restoration of service to all customers. We had a series of events this morning beginning a little after 2 o'clock. First, an island-wide outage caused by the loss of equipment at the Donald Francois electrical substation. That substation, of course, one of two that were severely impacted by the hurricanes in 2017 and is on our list to be repaired. However, we continue to limp along with that facility, making temporary repairs as we go until we're able to take it offline fully and restore it, rebuild it, actually. And that was the cause of this morning's initial island-wide service interruption. We restored all customers going up on 6 o'clock this morning, and then about an hour later, we noticed one of our units starting to drop load or to fall offline at the power plant on St. Thomas, and that led to a cascading effect that took all the units that were dispatched at the time offline. We have brought several units back. In fact, I think our full complement of units are back online this morning. We are taking our time, being a little more judicious than usual in bringing the service back to customers, because without the substation that suffered some equipment failure this morning, the grid becomes a little more fragile and more prone to service interruption. So we are mindful of that. We're keeping an eye on all things as we restore, a little bit slower than usual this morning, but we're just about 1 or 2 feeders away from full restoration. We estimate that should be completed by 10:30 this morning.
Where is the Donald Francois substation again?
In Long Bay, right between the Lucinda Midland home and the Pearson Gardens housing community.
That's over there when you're heading towards Yahaven.
Right.
Okay, good. No, that's number one. Number two, the legislature festivities in Emancipation Gardens, they're going to be okay?
I think they should be fine, and that area should have already been restored. That's, that area should have been restored. We've got some outlying areas that are out right now going towards the southeast side of the island.
What's the feeder numbers for St. Thomas again? They run from where? From 11, right?
They start from 5A. 5A, 6A, 7A, 8A, 6B, 7B, 8B, 9B, 10B. And there are a couple of C feeders, 7C, 9C, and feeders 7A and 9E with service St. John.
You said 5A, 6A, 7A, 8A, 6B, 7B?
8B, 9B, 10B. 7C, 9C, and 7E, 9E. When we get the East End substation, which was recently constructed back in service, it'll be serving a series of DS and Delta feeders, and we'll be back to our complement of ATE feeders in St. Thomas, St. John.
How many C feeders we have over there?
Two right now, two in service right now, 7C and 9C.
7C and 9C. We have 5B feeders, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10.
Yes, sir.
And we have 4A feeders, 5A, 6A, 7A, and 8A.
Yes. And usually there's 9A or 10A, but those feeders were destroyed in a hurricane and have not yet been rebuilt.
Okay, and then when we put the new system in place, we're going to have a 10E, right? Or a 10D, I mean.
No, you're going to have D feeders, delta feeders.
So how many D feeders are we going to have?
I believe it's 3.
Okay, good. Interesting. And then the units that we can start, was it unit 21 or 23 or something like that? Right now
we're operating with unit 14, which is an older unit owned by the authority. There's unit 15, unit 23, unit 27, and the 3 Wattzilla units 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
Which are the propane fired units.
Interesting. And when we're all done, is there going to be a reconfiguration? Or
yes. There's going to, obviously, as the two substations are fully restored and rehabilitated and brought back online, there'll be a whole reconfiguration of the grid to prevent, you try to sectionalize the grid in smaller areas so you don't have a major impact when you lose certain facilities or some facilities. It minimizes the volume of the impact that you suffer. On the generation side, of course, we've got 4 new Wattzilla units that are in production right now that are going to add to the more efficient and reliable generation of the Harley plant, allowing us to decommission some of the older, less reliable, less efficient units.
And which is the one that energizing St. John?
The ones that are energizing St. John are going to remain part of the plant in St. Thomas. However, St. John is going to have 2 of its own standby generators. Those are not going to be for regular use, only standby.
So that in the event
that there's a power plant issue in St. Thomas, St. John can become energized and stand up by itself.
Correct.
But those are only standby units. They are not for full-time use.
Correct.
St. John will continue to be fed by transmission lines from St. Thomas.
Awesome. Thank you very much, John Griot. Thanks for the update. And try your best to keep it smooth today for the Senator them.
We will. We will give it our best shot.
Okay, good. Thanks a lot, John Griot.
Everybody, take care. Thanks.
You got it. That's John Griot updating what took place over there in St. Thomas. They've been dealing with some power outage issues, and we hope everything, works out. Because, of course, transmission of power is very, very important, and that's a big issue, Senator Russell. Ronnie been talking about that for years. Well, not for years, but in his time as a contributor here and analyze this. And very, very important. And for those of you who know about how everything is integrated, you need a affordable and reliable energy transmission component of government, because it belongs to the government. It might be a semi-autonomous agency, but it belongs to the people of the Virgin Islands. It's government. And we need to make that work. So we could be attractive. People would want to invest their monies here into the Virgin Islands. Well, like I said, today is the 34th. Hakeem Olajuwon, Charles Barkley, all these number 34s. Today's your day, the 34th legislature. I wish you well as a former member of the body. I did my time. And now, we need the 15 of you. 9 of you returning. 6 of you taking the oath for the first time to come together and provide leadership, respect for each other, wish each other well. Don't get caught up in this continuous forming a legislature and then changing over and all that. Try to make it work. Do your homework. Be prepared. Listen attentively at the committee meetings, and you're going to be okay. And good public relations. Let the public know what you're doing. On that note, enjoy your day. Enjoy your Monday. Talk to you tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect that of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.